Of scripture you all are aware of, John chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 16, page 864 in your pew Bible. Let's stand together as we read God's word. John chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse 16, we're going to read through verse 21, page 864. Let's read God's word together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Those who believe in Him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Thanks so much. You can be seated. You know, when we come to the table of the Lord on this first Sunday of each month, our focus is usually on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We focus in upon the cross, and we are reminded again of the sacrifice that Christ made for our sins, the premium that was placed on you and me. But this morning, and for the next first Sunday throughout this year, we're going to come back to this passage of Scripture, particularly verse 16, a passage of Scripture that we all learned as children. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today I want to look at those first two words, for God. For God. I wished I could tell you today that in 10, 15 minutes, I could share with you all that you need to know about God. I could tell you who God is. I could tell you all, I could describe to you all of His attributes and His characteristics. I could, somehow paint a picture of God that you would walk out of here today and say, I clearly see God now. But that is humanly impossible. But what I do want to do today, even though we began in John chapter 3, verse 16, I think in the Psalms, the 139th Psalm, gives us probably one of the best descriptions of God that we find in the Bible. We're not going to read all through it, but I'm going to just briefly go through it today and touch upon some of the key phrases and thoughts that we find in that psalm that tie into God. The first one is this, beginning in the 139th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist writes, You have searched me, Lord, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. So the first attribute that I would tell you about God is this. God knows you intimately. He knows all about you. He knows about your past. He sees you where you are right now. He knows about your future. David said, You know me. God even is so intimately acquainted with you that God knows when you sit down and God knows when you get up. And let me give you an illustration of how intimately God knows you. Friday morning, Pastor Terrell and I drove over to Jefferson County to play golf. And we get on the first tee, and I hit the ball, and I'm so used to hitting it to the left, I look to the left, and I didn't see the ball. And so I told Pastor Terrell, I said, I never saw it. And he said, I saw it, it went this way, but then I lost it. So we got the cart and we rode all around to the left. We didn't see the ball. We rode through the fairway. We didn't see the ball. We rode to the right. We didn't see the ball. And I thought, you know, I must have hit it in the hole. We got there and the ball wasn't there either. And so I said, you know, I'll just drop a ball and we'll just keep playing. And we finished up the 9 holes and we started back and we came back to that same hole, which is now the 10th hole. And before I hit the golf ball, we were in the cart and Pastor Terrell said, now, Holy Spirit, you know where that golf ball is. Help us find it. I got up, I hit the ball, I saw where this one went. And Butch, believe it or not, it was straight as an arrow. We get the cart, we go over, and I say, well, here's my golf ball. I pick it up, and from here to where Sherry is sitting was my golf ball. God knew. Every time I hit a golf ball straight, I'm going to say, Lord, I don't know where it is. Help me find it, because I know the next one will be straight as well. God allowed me to hit that second golf ball within 10 feet of that first golf ball so I could find both of them. David, if I were writing this psalm, I would say, you have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know where I hit the golf ball. He said, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts. You discern my going out. When you go out the door, God knows it, and my coming back in. You are familiar, he said, with all my ways. God's intimately acquainted with you. In verse 4, he says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God even knows the words I'm going to say before I say them. Now, some of the words that you might say, God didn't originate those words. Like when you hit your thumb with the hammer. That word, God saw it coming and he was saying, don't let that one out. He knows my words before I even say them. He guides my life. Verse 5 says, you hem me in behind and before and you lay your hand upon me. God guides your life. God sets up ways, a path for you to walk. He said, you hem me in behind and before. God directs your steps. Then verses 7 through 10. Tell me that God is so acquainted with my ways that I cannot find a place in which I escape from God. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There is no place you will ever go beyond and escape the love and the care and the compassion and the grace of God. You know me. You know where I'm going. You know where I am. I cannot escape your gaze. I cannot escape your hand. I cannot escape your love. Well, what a relief that is. Tom was talking today about remembering. And sometimes we remember places we went that we say, I wish I'd never gone there. We remember things we did. We said, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never said that. I wish I'd never allowed that into my life. But even in those places, God's love, God's care, God's grace was still calling us and still drawing us back to Himself. No matter where I am, I cannot hide from God. The psalmist said in the next verse of the 139th Psalm, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness will be as light to you. Have you ever been in some dark places? Have you ever been in some places where you think, I sure wouldn't want anybody to know where I'm at? I sure wouldn't want anybody to know what I'm doing. I sure wouldn't want anybody to know what's going on in my life right now. I sure wouldn't want anybody to know the thoughts and the devils that I struggle with in my mind. But the psalmist tells us that even in the darkest places of our lives and what we consider to be the darkest recesses of our mind, God is there. He said, darkness is as light to you. The darkness does not hide me. God sees me. You cannot hide from His love. No matter what you've gone through. I was talking to Sherry this week about struggling with forgiving yourself. I think that's probably one of the biggest struggles we face sometimes. It's far easier to forgive someone else than it is to forgive yourself. You think about the things you didn't say, the things you wished you would have said, the things you did say, the things you wished you wouldn't have done, the things you did do. All those go through your mind, and all of that can be at times like this treadmill that you just feel like, I can't get off of this. And yet the Scripture tells me that God can turn the darkest night into the brightest day. That God can move into that dark area in my heart, that dark area in my mind, that dark area in my spirit, and God can bring His light into that very area. The other thing that we know about God is that God does not have or create any accidents. The psalmist also in the 139th Psalm said this, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You are not an accident. You're not the victim of some terrible circumstance that brought you into life. And whether your parents loved you the way you felt like they should have loved you, whether your parents rejected you, whether your parents were good enough, or whether your parents were struggling with their own issues and really couldn't help you deal with yours, or you say, you know, my parents' struggles got passed down to me and now I find myself struggling with the same issue that my mom struggled with or my dad struggled with. The Scripture tells us that God made you fearfully and wonderfully. He said, Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, maybe it would be good for us in the mornings when we get up and we walk into the bathroom and we're getting ready to shave or brush our teeth and we take that first look in the mirror to say to ourselves, You are wonderful. You're wonderful. Because the Scripture says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Sometimes, you know, we're so quick to condemn ourselves, to beat ourselves up. And here God is saying, I created you. I created you fearfully and wonderfully. I did it in a wonderful way. You were knit together by me. I made you just the way you are. And Ann DeVere gave me such good news today. She said, Rodney, remember this. Everyone is bald under their hair. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord looked at me and said, Why should I waste a good gene on hair? I'll place it in you someplace else. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The other thing the psalmist tells us is this, that God knows your beginning and God knows your ending. He said, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The story of your life was begun by God. The final period on that story, as far as it unfolds on earth, will be placed there by God. And then the greatest story that could ever be will then begin. God knows all the days of my life. I want to take care of myself. I want to live as long as God allows me to. But the psalmist is saying to us is this: there's no fear in the ending. God has the ending in control, just like He had the beginning in control. And the last thing the psalmist tells us about God is this: He thinks about you a lot. The psalmist said, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand." How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. Did you know that God thinks about you all the time? Even when you're not thinking about Him, He's thinking about you. You don't just pop up into God's mind. You are there in His mind. You don't just pop up into His thoughts. You are the center of His thoughts. He doesn't just think about you every now and then. He thinks about you all the time. When you're having a great day, He thinks about you. When you're struggling, He thinks about you. When you're happy, He's thinking about you. When you're sad, He's thinking about you. When you think this is the greatest day of my life, He's thinking about you. And when you're thinking this is the worst day of my life, He's thinking about you. There is no way to number. David said, if I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. God is constantly, continually thinking about you. Tuesday morning, I woke up and my oldest son was just on my mind. And all throughout the day, I kept thinking about Sean. And so that night, I called him and it went to his voicemail. And I said, "Hey, Sean, this is Dad. Just want to check on you. You've just really been on my mind today. And I just wanted to see how you're doing." I didn't hear anything Wednesday. I didn't hear anything Thursday. And I told Sherry, I said, if he hadn't called me back by Saturday, I'm calling again. And then Friday, he sent me a text. He said, "Dad, I got your call. I appreciate you thinking about me. I have been sick all week. I'll call you tomorrow. I'll call you this afternoon." And I texted him back and said, "No, you rest today. I'll call you tomorrow." And I thought, Lord, I'm so grateful that as a dad, you would drop my son into my mind and do it in such a way that I would pray for him and say, Lord, I don't know if something's going on in Sean's life or not, but he's just really on my heart today, and I just want to lift him up to you. And we do that as a parent. We do that as a child when our parents come into our mind. But that is not what God does. God doesn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, Jordan's on my mind. I think I'll check in on Jordan, see how she's doing. Mike's on my mind today. I think I'll check on Mike, see how he is. We are always on God's and in God's thoughts. It baffles my mind to think that God, the creator of everything that there is, thinks about me. If you had the ability to say to God right now, Father, right off the top of my mind, tell me what you're thinking right now, He'd say, you. I'm thinking about you. But Lord, I'm struggling. I'm thinking about you. Lord, my temper keeps getting away from me. I'm thinking about you. Lord, I'm not acting the right way I should act. I'm thinking about you. Lord, I said something to Sherry today I shouldn't have said. I'm thinking about you. You're always on his mind. You're always in his thoughts. And so Jesus, when he's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he's getting ready to share with Nicodemus the plan of God for the world, he begins it not by talking about what Jesus is going to go through, but he begins it by saying, for God. For God. So today, as we come to the table of the Lord, and we take those elements that represent the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, and we turn our eyes and our focus and our attention upon Jesus hanging on that cross, dying for my sins. Let's also be cognizant of the fact that God so loved the world. My salvation did not begin at the cross. My salvation began in the heart of my Father. With a love he had for me, not because I was worthy of that love, not because you and I deserved that love, not because we had earned that love, not because we were love worthy, but because we were on his thoughts, in his thoughts, on his heart. And his heart was and is and always will be turned toward us in love. Father, I thank you for the love of God that is beyond description. I thank you, Father, that you, to the best of our ability, that you are so vast and so good and so mighty and so powerful, that, Lord, there's not enough time to even touch upon who you are. All that we can say, Lord, is that God is love. And we are the recipients of that great love that he made visible to us in the body and life of his Son, Jesus. So God, we come to you today as your creation. We come to you today as your children. We come to you today with the recognition that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We come to you today with the knowledge that you have ordered and ordained the days of our lives. We come to you today, Father, knowing that even in the darkness it is light, and that you guide and lead and direct our steps. And we come to you today cognizant of the fact that we are always in your thoughts. And Lord, all the best we can do is to say thank you. To say thank you. So may we, as we come to this altar today and take these elements, may we do so with hearts of thanks, hearts of gratitude, hearts of praise, hearts of appreciation, hearts of worship. As we remind ourselves again, for God so loved the world. Amen.